split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe
welcome to the situation report for December 4th. And wow, that was Disturbed, Sounds of Silence. Simon and Garfunkel did that. Simon and Garfunkel did that song way back in the 60s. And Disturbed does Down with the Sickness, which I think everybody's heard that song, at least parts of it. And of course, you know, today, just not a good show without some kind of IT issue. Cut off the song about, you know, a minute and a half in. So this is what it is. Just yet another day and another day in the show cycle. I'll just leave that there. It's been a day. Let's see what happened today. I yelled at my boss. France blew up. Korea is still somewhat blowing up. So pretty quiet month so far. I'm telling you, it's the only thing missing, which don't wait for the space guy to come out and say it. Come on, space guy. You know, we got Bill Nye, the science guy. Now we got Elon, the space guy. I'm telling you, just waiting for him to say, not only are we talking to aliens, but I am an alien. And I'm here to turn all of you into drones. I'm just waiting for him to make the announcement. It's just a matter of time. So I want to address the CEO assassination last night. And I'm just going to say this. You've heard me say this before. It bears saying again. Let's wait and see what develops. Let's wait and see. And let's give it time to develop, because it's like everything else, right? All this stuff comes out initially, all this information comes out initially, and then a trickle of information about the CEO comes out, about CEO's activities, et cetera, et cetera. But I will just say this. This is probably not going to be the last CEO that we see assassinated, because I'm actually kind of surprised that it took this long for some of this to happen. And you have to ask yourself the question, why was this guy walking around late at night? Because there's, look at Bill Gates, right? I don't think there's a person on this planet that doesn't want to see that guy smoke, but he has incredible security and he's able to walk around the streets. And he only does it during the daylight hours, never does it at night, et cetera, et cetera. This guy was walking alone at night. Somebody knew he was, knew he was walking alone. There's a ton of conjecture about, was he using a suppressor? Was he using a solvent trap? Basically, a solvent trap is a oil filter. This is basically what it is. So, it literally is one of those deals where we don't know enough information yet to really know if this was an actual hit, if this was actually somebody that was angry about, dealing with the insurance company. If you've ever dealt with United Insurance, I can tell you that they're awful to deal with. So it wouldn't be a surprise if there was tons of people that had a vendetta against the guy. You never know, right? We don't know anything yet, really. It just is what it is. So take that with a grain of salt. Let's see how it develops. Let's see what goes on, and let's see what trickles out. And I wouldn't get too wrapped up in a lot of the conjecture about it, because there's just not enough information. Yeah, and there was a he did have a weapons malfunction a couple of times. Yeah, I saw that. That could be a lot of things, right? But a professional would have checked their ammo. They would have checked their they would have checked their weapon long before that. But shit happens, right? And even the best ammo malfunctions. But whatever the case, he cycles the weapons. I saw I cycled the weapon a couple of times, fired a couple of rounds, and the guy goes down. But there could be a variety of reasons why this guy was targeted. We just don't know. That's just the bottom line. We just don't know. So I wouldn't get too wrapped up in it, and just see where the next piece of this develops. At the same time, you're seeing the counteroffensive with Hegseth coming. He's doing the right thing. He's making the rounds, and on the talk show circuit, he's making the rounds on the interview circuit, because they're trying to say he doesn't have enough experience. But what they're really saying is, we know this guy is going to be massively disruptive to the order, and we want to make sure we don't bring in anybody that's not disruptive to the order. And that's exactly what we need. We need disruption in HHS. We need a massive disruption in the FDA. The DEA is useless, and the DEA appointee has already opted out. And that's the power of social media. Remember when I said on Monday night that Trump is, he's hearing all this, he's seeing all this, and he's not dumb. He gets to see what people are saying about his picks. And I know he's paying attention, because this guy is by and far probably one of the most dialed in to social media of all the politicians that we've seen to date. And you can't tell me that Trump is not paying attention to his constituents. He absolutely is. And he absolutely is dealing with, sorry, his glasses are driving me fucking crazy. He absolutely is dealing with all of that, as well as he's dealing with what's coming back at him. And there's been so much blowback over just his DEA pick and his FDA pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the FDA, his FDA pick gets replaced too. I don't know why it wasn't Peter McCullough. I mean, what a better guy for the FDA than Peter McCullough. But yet he picks this shrub that was a total vax advocate. Come on. And then there's what's that douchebag's name? I'm gonna be Bonner for a second, dude. Daryl Bonner. What's this guy's name? What's this guy's name? I know. I'll go to my comments on Twitter. Because this guy was like, oh, he's a doc that's like pro-vax. Oh, what's his fucking name? I'll read my comment on Twitter. For those of you who aren't on Twitter, you'll enjoy. I was in a rare mood yesterday. I've been somewhat fed up with most of the shitbags in Washington State. And yesterday, there was a story that came out that the governor of Washington State is moving to Idaho to Hayden Lake specifically, and he's going to Hayden Lake so he can basically retire on all the money he's made from the Gates Foundation and Big Pharma. What the fuck is this guy's name? I probably had 20 posts yesterday that were all flaming liberals. God, liberals are stupid. Let me just get this out of the way. I was going to talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about it now. Liberals are stupid, all of them, without exception. They're completely brain dead. Because, and I'm going to say they're brainwashed. That's a better way to say it. They're brainwashed. Because they completely miss the fact that most of the people that they're supporting have committed treason. And they will go to whatever end possible to not only justify, but rationalize why it's okay that the end justifies the means and that treason is okay. Treason is not okay. Treason is treason. It's going to be treason. No matter which flavor you want to dip it in, it's still going to be treason. And all over social media right now, this whole thing about the Biden, Hunter Biden pardon. Okay, first of all, everybody expect you should have expected that. I said that on Monday. Are you really surprised? You shouldn't be. I'm not surprised. But the storyline is that but Biden said over and over that he wasn't going to pardon his son. Who gives a shit? Why does anybody care? And what do the liberals come back with? Well, you elected a felon. God, these people are so fucking retarded that they will rationalize anything. In fact, you could put a turd in a blue outfit and call it a Democrat, and these knuckleheads would vote for it. That's how badly brainwashed all these people are. Is it any wonder why you have people still wearing double masks in the airport? Even though they know that it doesn't work, but that is the second and third order effects of a highly effective information operations campaign, that they still think orange man bad, even though a majority of the country voted for the guy because all the other options were terrible. And they're still justifying. And the interesting thing is, the number of bots and the number of AI posts about pro-Biden, pro-Harris has doubled. I think there's more now today than there was before the election. And I'll tell you why that is. Because they have to justify stealing the down ballot. And now you're seeing all this messaging that, like my favorite is AOC running for office. Oh, just put that bitch on the stage. Let's see that kumquat on the stage trying to debate somebody like JD Vance. He's going to eviscerate her on stage and make her look like the mental midget that she really is. Go ahead, run that bitch. Let's see how she does in the primary. Oh my God. And the doctor I was talking about was Peter Hotez. This guy is literally on his knees choking on Big Pharma cock. This guy is unbelievable. And I'm not, this is a threat. This is a threat he said in an interview. My friend and colleague, who's at Yale, did an estimate of the COVID vaccines, and there's going to be a wave of vaccines that are a wave of viruses that are unleashed as soon as Trump steps into office. He literally said this in an interview. I was shocked. He's first he sounded the alarm about the avian flu stuff. Remember the avian flu that nobody bought into, that people still don't buy into? Yeah. So now he's out there saying that there's going to be a wave of viruses unleashed against the public as soon as Trump's put into office. Hello. That's a threat. That's sedition. And he's doing it. He's doing it live. He feels protected. Clearly, he feels protected. But that should tell you the level of just the level they're going to sink to try and maintain power. And most of it's a show anyway. Most of what we're seeing is a show. I mean, definitely all this bullshit with Congress and all these appointments. It's all BS. All of it. It's all nonsense. Because it's all scripted BS. And it's scripted BS just to keep everybody distracted from the fact that they've stolen the down ballot. They went from a seven position lead or seven position majority to a one person majority in the House. How the fuck does that happen after the election's called? The election's called, and then California miraculously flips like four seats, and Washington State flips a seat, and then Michigan flips a seat. I mean, come on. Really? Nobody questions it. That's why there's all this distraction. So nobody's even looking at it. And that's exactly what happened to the mega crowd. They all took the victory lap. Trump won. We can relax. Look, here's the 411. First of all, you can't take your eye off the ball right now. This is the most dangerous time in American history. And no, Hotez needs low altitude helicopter descent therapy. That's definitively what he needs. And it needs to be publicized. But the fact that all this is happening and nobody's paying attention to it, they're playing you just like they played you before. They let Trump win, they give you the presidency, and then they start screwing over everybody in other ways. Like they're doing all the federal court appointments right now. They're all liberals. They've done like almost 15 of them now. And if you know anything about the Ninth Circuit Court, that's in California. That is absolutely the most liberal court on the planet. Everything that goes to Ninth Circuit ends up in the Supreme Court. You know why? Because they're all fucking crazy. They all rule completely to the left. It's not even based in logic. It's not even unbiased. It's just blatantly biased, blatantly unconstitutional, and blatantly liberal. And now they're doing it. They're trying to pack all the courts across the country so that nothing actually happens during Trump's presidency. But I hate to say it to you, folks. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to go smooth for them. They're not going to win. They're not going to consolidate power. DEI is dead. ESG is dead. This whole trans gay movement is dying a loud, grotesque military death, as it should. You have groups now coming out, gays, transgender against groomers, gays against groomers. You know why that's happening? It's because people have figured out, and most of the country is awake now and have figured out, that all these people that are promoting this have been paid by one special interest or another that's laced back to the Pritzkers, it's laced back to the Rockefellers, it's laced back to Alex Soros. Take your pick. They're all involved in this. And people are pushing back against it because they don't want to live in a communist country. And the next thing you're going to see, along with CEOs getting smoked, which the reason why I'm surprised that it took so long for this to happen, it's that balance point that I've discussed many times. It's that place where people get when they realize that abiding by the system is far more painful than breaking the law. And we've seen that for the first time. I'm assuming that this United Healthcare guy, this is not a professional hit. This is somebody that was angry that looked for an opportunity, that calculated, that took the time to figure out where he was going to be and was patient. Remember, I talked about this. I talked about somebody going off the reservation that would be in this position because they had nothing left to lose. And that may not be the case here, but you're going to see more and more of that as more and more information comes out about the vaccine. And more information is coming out about the vaccine every single day. And it's getting traction. That's the main thing. It's getting traction. Prior to 2023, it was conspiracy theory. It was literally just a thing. People didn't even realize, and they didn't want to believe that the vaccines were toxic. Now it's being proven by study after study after study that the vaccine is the bioweapon. And it's only going to be a matter of time when somebody who got the shot, multiple shots, and has some kind of long-term issue and nothing left to live for is going to go off the reservation. And when you see that, you will see, and look, this is not something that's going to be solved by Trump coming to office. This is not going to be solved by RFK going to HHS. This is going to be solved by the right people being eliminated by people that don't have anything left to lose. And I've talked about this over and over and over because they've created the perfect storm for this. And the perfect storm is, and I think that they, I think the elite that are behind this COVID stuff, I think they thought deep down that they were going to be able to consolidate power. And by 2030, they were going to be able to tighten the reins to where nobody would ask any questions. And the pendulum's gone completely in the other direction. In fact, you can see the sigh of relief by just about every podcaster that's on the conservative side of the fence. You can see it right now. You can see that pause. And I've heard it called a bunch of different things, but I'm going to call it the Trump pause. We were given a four-year Trump pause. And right now, we're in the 60 or 50-day point where we have 50 days left before he takes office. This, to me, is probably the most dangerous time in American history. And I say that because this could still go the other way. This could still swing the other way with the right momentum. I don't think it will, and I'll tell you why I don't think it will. Because there's too many people awake and paying attention to both Trump and what's going on the other side to not go the right way. And of course, you have to remember that part of what's going on right now is you have people that don't, they've been in the system so long. They've been doing this for so long. They don't know what other options they have. They're stuck in a script, right? And Luongo calls it the Gantt chart, right? They've got a bunch of project managers that are still playing to the, they're still planning and moving the board according to the Gantt chart. And that's true. We're seeing a lot of those moves. But the piece that we haven't seen and the piece that we're going to see is this part where people realize that they've been poisoned and their body is, and their DNA has been changed forever. And they've got some kind of a long-term illness because of it. Those are the people I'm waiting to go off the reservation, because they will. And there is no politician, there's no economic condition, there's no social condition, and there's no religious condition that is going to prevent them from seeking revenge and justice. That's what I see coming. And I would love to see it another way, but I'm seeing too much information coming out. And this is the other thing too. I'm seeing too much information starting to come out about the pedophilia thing. I'm seeing more and more of those narratives online. I'm seeing more and more people talk about it. I'm seeing more and more information coming out about the pedophilia in Hollywood, which, if you don't know how bad it was in Hollywood, it was terrible. Terrible. Every layer of that entire cesspool has been completely invaded by pedophilia. It's every institution in our society, every level of demographics, every piece of strata in the society has been infected by it, to the point where it's so bad that it's starting to just spill over in conversations just within the Hollywood circles. And if you've listened to me for a while, you've heard me say this. This is not just about Epstein's Island. Epstein was just one island. This shit is all over the world. It's all over the planet. And we've been fighting against both a propaganda machine as well as a control machine. And now we're fighting against a human trafficking machine. And it's a machine. It's not just a system. It's a machine that's been in place for decades. Decades. And I want to remind everybody that George H.W. Bush was named by name in the mid-80s during the Boys Town scandal. By name. It was going on way back then. Imagine what it is now when you have air cover by all of the different media outlets, all of different print outlets, all of different radio. The whole radio community is owned by, you know, Soros and a few others. Guess what? These people were not only felt protected, they were protected. And that information was buried every time it showed its head. Either the person bringing it up, like Isaac Cappy, was killed, or they just vanish, or they have an unfortunate accident. Now we're not seeing that. Now we're seeing more and more of this information trickle out. But what's interesting is we're seeing the peripherals, people coming in talking about their experiences. And these are people that they don't have a gun to their head, but they feel safe enough right now to come out to the mainstream and start talking about this and sharing their stories about all these different elites and all these different Hollywood stars that have been molesting children. And it's only going to take one or two, another couple of Virginia Guthries to come out with some kind of video, and this will blow up. And we are not that far away from it. And right now is exactly the time that that would happen. And I say that because Trump's not in office yet. The Democrats are not really paying attention. They're more worried about consolidating power and trying to stay in control. This is the storm, the perfect storm I was talking about. They've created the perfect storm for their own demise, and they don't even realize it. What if that midway moment is somebody releases the doomsday tapes on the Clintons, the Bushes, etc.? What do you think would happen if that happened right now? I mean, with the news cycle the way it is, do you think it'd get buried? I don't. Look at the Jennifer Lopez tape. That was out for what, 2 hours? And then it got censored off Twitter. By the way, they're shadow banning the shit out of me on Twitter. It's fantastic. Even people, even posts that I flame somebody on, they don't even see it. Yeah, it's freedom of reach, freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. But I think if and when this does happen, because it's a when now, it's not an if, when this happens, you're going to see a shift in the public consciousness, because people really don't understand how bad this is. They have no idea. They have no idea. And a part of the reason why I'm talking about this right now is that I had somebody reach out to me. It's been almost a week now, and I've been trying to get in touch with all my old contacts to figure out if anybody's still in the game of trying to help children, because all of that was pretty much sidelined after Trump left office. It was gaining momentum when Trump was in office and more people were moving towards helping children. But then with this border invasion, when they opened the floodgates, most of that went by the wayside. So I don't know who's really still in the business. And clearly, the folks that I knew were in the business are not in the business anymore. So it tells me that there's a pendulum shift going on there too, and it's only a matter of time before that starts up. And that's part of the reason why I think that there's going to be some kind of disclosure before Trump gets into office. Because think about it this way. If it were me, and I knew I was going to office, and I knew I would have to fight this, and I knew that I would need public support in order to do it. And I knew I needed to counter the mainstream media. And I knew that I needed to kill off what was left of the mainstream media and take away the remaining bit of reach and power. What a better way to do it than to out all the motherfuckers that are pedophiles and throw a video out in the public consciousness into a venue where you know people are going to pay attention to it. That's what I would do. I would literally architect that so it would drop into the public space and I wouldn't have my fingers on it at all. And who's to say that's not what's coming? I would love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. Because you're seeing all these Hollywood actors, all these TV celebrities, they're all deleting their profiles. I think Alyssa Milano is the funniest one. That barking seal couldn't close her mouth for 4 years. And now all of a sudden she's completely off of social media. Yeah, that tells you something. That tells you that she's very concerned about her safety right now. It cracks me up to no end. And look, I told you this was coming. I told you this specific thing was going to make it to the surface, regardless of what they want. It's going to make it to the surface. It doesn't matter how hard they try. Eventually, the truth will come out. And you know, between that and the vaccine injuries and people that are going to seek justice, it's going to be an amazing show to watch. And that is all going to happen probably at the same time. And I if I was a betting man, I'd say it's going to happen soon because, wow, the rumblings are there. And the more I see, especially the more things I see about people calling out pedophilia directly, the more I realize that is actually on the docket now. And I, you know, the leap I can't make yet is if this is a controlled release so that the bigger picture, the more insidious and scary and really evil shit is released later. If this is the warm up to get the public ready for the real disclosures, the rape, torture, dismemberment of children, because when that comes out, there won't be a hole deep enough for these people to hide it. There won't be an island far enough away for them to sit on and live out the rest of their lives. And there's not enough space at Gitmo for all of them. So it's going to be very ugly when that comes out. And I believe it is coming out right now. And I think it's incredibly amazing to me how people are not only paying attention, but they're starting to engage in the conversation. Before it was like somebody would post something, you would see it, wouldn't really get any interaction. And what you care about in social media is interaction. You want that back and forth, right? You want it to be moving around in social media and making the rounds so everybody sees it, right? It's all about engagement. It's all about what they call stickiness, right? You make things sticky in social media, not artificially. Twitter was artificially doing that 2 to 3 to 4 years ago before Musk bought him. And trust me, they're still censoring right now. X is still censoring. YouTube's censoring the shit out of everybody. And Google's still censoring. They're still censoring. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about social media engagement. The power of social media is the engagement. It's in getting people to stick into a specific topic and stay there and talk about it and expand it and add to it and add to the conversation, add to the information, add to the dialogue. Why is that important? It's important, especially when you start talking about, let's look at the DEA pick. When the DEA pick came out, the first thing that happened is the left cheered it and the right started doing fact checking. It started background checking this guy. And within not even 2 hours, all this information came out. Then a bunch of other people got into the subject and were sticky, meaning they stuck with the subject. They kept posting against the subject and kept posting against that guy's persona. And guess what? The pile of stories started getting higher and higher, and the noise level started getting higher and higher. And more importantly, more information came out about that pick and went directly to him. And basically what he realized is not only does the people do does the American population see me? They're well versed in what I did during COVID, and they are not going to be forgiving or let this go. And that in and of itself is why the guy walked away, because he knew that he was never going to be, he might have been confirmed by the Congress, but he was never going to be accepted by the American people. And that is the power of stickiness within the social media context. That's why social media is so powerful, because the cultural narrative, not the social narrative, the cultural narrative, meaning what is our culture, not what is our society supposed to be, what are those narratives that you want us to believe? No, this is our culture. This is who we are. This is what we're about. That's why stickiness is so important. That's why engagement is so important. It's important so that not only does it control what our culture is, it controls how our culture views specific topics. That's what you're seeing going on right now. You're seeing the American public, then the American culture being solidified in social media, not just in alternative media and social media. You're seeing the American public reclaim our culture, and they're doing it real time. And they're doing it through memes. They're doing it through social media engagement. They're doing it through information gathering and information sharing. All of those things are important, especially right now, because with the ability to have a source of truth, let me say it again, a source of truth. And a source of truth is that people are posting factual information that's researched and can be verified. They're posting it against all these different appointees, all these different topics, and the election. And what you're seeing is a redefinition of what American values really are. And is it going to be the same as 1941? No. Because the piece that we don't have now, that they want you to believe we have, is racism, which is a farce. If anything, there's reverse racism going on right now. And that's been propagated by DEI, yet another fucking race-baiting Barry Serrato. Ugh, fucking hate that guy. I want that guy behind bars. I don't want him. I don't want Obama executed. I want him stripped of his rights, and I want him to spend the rest of his fucking life in a diaper in a cell where he can't hang himself and he just goes crazy because he has no power whatsoever. That's what I want to see for that motherfucker. And I want to see that shit. I want to see that shit real time, televised on the internet, a camera in his fuck. He can't take a shit in his cell for the rest of his life without a camera on him. I want to see that piece of shit rot in prison. I don't know where that came from, but I just felt like saying that. But where I was going with that initially is the American public is really taking back the cultural narrative. And now, instead of just taking it back from the mainstream media, they're taking it back and they're redefining what it is to be American. They're redefining what it is for us to have a value system and what our value system is. And you would be surprised at some of the things that you're seeing right now from the American public, because it doesn't match what the founding fathers or, you know, post-World War II, post-Vietnam, doesn't match that. And the reason why it doesn't match that is that people want to see an end of slavery, the real slavery, not the, you know, slavery of the 1700s and 1800s, the real slavery that's going on right now, the trafficking of children, the human trafficking, the slave markets. They want it all shut down. They want it all to go away. They want all of these criminals that have been imported into Europe and into the U.S., they want them out. People that want to live here, people that want to integrate into American society, people that want to be Americans, they are welcome to stay. At least that's the messaging I'm seeing from both conservatives and from liberals in social media and alternative media. Now, how much of that is bots? I don't know. I don't think it's a lot of bots. I think there are bots pushing for amnesty, but I'm not talking about amnesty. I'm talking about people that legitimately want to be here and have come here, that want to work, add to society, and integrate into American society and be an American. those are the people that will be welcome. The rest of them, fuck them. Send them home. Fuck them. I'm done listening to this narrative that these people are just trying to find a better place to live. These motherfuckers were given free food, free clothing, free housing, and free everything else while they're fucking North Carolina, Hawaii, and Houston. People that were affected by real Americans affected by real things. And then you have this slob get on TV yesterday and say he's going to pay for Africans. Americans don't want to hear that shit anymore. Americans want to hear one thing. We're going to clean out this country of all the illegal criminals. We're going to get rid of the cartels. We're going to get rid of the gangs. We're going to get rid of all these Islamic terrorists that are here. We're going to get rid of all the Chinese foreign nationals in the PLA. We're going to get rid of anybody who doesn't want to integrate to be an American and provide and add to society. And then we're going to go after all the people that enabled this. You heard Trump say that. Not only is the new border czar, not only is he going to come in and do something about illegal immigration, he's going to go investigate the NGOs down in Panama. And I'll tell you what, if we were smart, we would go reoccupy Clark or Howard Army Base, and we would put soldiers down there again, and we would have a garrison of forces down there, and we would be ready for any incursions through the Darien Gap. If we were smart, that's what we would do. We'll see exactly which way that goes. But the narratives I'm seeing right now, the things, I mean, aside from the UFOs, aside from, you know, Trump's terrible picks, aside from the fact that Trump's a felon, the orange man's bad, all that normal shit. I'm talking about the things I'm seeing around our culture are actually, it gives me a lot of hope, because I'm seeing Americans go back and do some real research into our history so they understand what our real history is. And they're starting to come up with alternatives and solutions to where we are now. That gives me hope. And I would hope that whoever takes over FEMA goes through and guts that place, because I would gut that place. I would sequester all of the email for the last 2 years, all the way back to Maui. And the first thing I would do is do a keyword search for MAGA. And anybody on the payroll that said anything negative about supporting MAGA or average Americans, gone. Never to come back to the federal government. Never. Gone. And, you know, the one thing that I heard today from Hegseth that I thought was brilliant was that the military is about lethality. We are going to do away with everything that doesn't have anything to do with lethality. That is what the military is for. That is what that's what the SecDef is supposed to do. Maintain readiness and lethality. That's what the military's for. It's good to finally hear somebody say that shit out loud. And the same needs to be done at FEMA, at DHS, at NSA. I'm waiting for who the Dernza is. I'm waiting to find who the Dernza is. You don't want a guy like me as Dernza, because I will burn that place to the ground. I think they're spying on Americans or collecting on Americans. I'll burn the whole goddamn place to the ground. And FEMA needs to get back to what their real job is. FEMA's job is not disaster or disaster recovery. Their job is continuity of government. That's what they were put in place for. If they're going to be federal emergency management, then their job needs to be redefined. And all those deep holes they built across the U.S., they all need to be repurposed for something else. At the end of the day, though, All those different agencies need to be reformed. And it's good to finally start hearing people talking about what needs to be reformed. That is a very, very positive thing. Now, does it mean we're not going to see shenanigans before January 20th? Yeah, we will. We're already seeing them. We're seeing them stack in the federal courts. We're seeing them go, you know, steal the down ballot, which I said they were going to do. They did it. So now what's the next thing they're going to go after? They have to go after the media in some way, shape, or form. And I find it amazing that Mark Zuckerberg is sucking up to Trump along with Bill Gates because they want to work together. Yeah. Translation. We want to be able to fuck over Section 230 so that we can continue to do what we're doing, only do it without any supervision. Now, fuck you, Mark Zuckerberg. You can fuck off. In fact, you and your Chinese handler can fuck off back to China and go fuck off there and live in China the rest of your life, you shitbag. And Sergey Brin, you could go fuck off to China, all the rest of you. Eric Schmidt, but Eric Schmidt, you're going to Gitmo, you fucking child molester. God. I've heard so many, and I don't even know if they're true. Let me just say, I don't know if any of this shit's true, but my opinion is Jomo. That's my opinion. And I don't care if it's true or not. I've heard enough. This guy has messed around. Eric Schmidt has personally, oh, he and Sergey Brin have personally overseen the social scoring system in China. They built most of the infrastructure for the social scoring system in China. They helped build most of the infrastructure for the social scoring system here, as well as all the censorship engine and machine that's been built here. Those two need to go to prison for sedition and treason. But above everything else, whatever else that they're accused of. And as far as I'm concerned, treason is treason. And I don't care who you are. If you have committed treason, there's no pardon in the world that's going to save you from going to prison. And that's the next thing that I want to see. I want to see that nobody is above the law and that justice prevails. That's what I want to see. This two-tier justice system that we've been dealing with, that needs to die a loud, grotesque military death. And I think we're starting to see the fringes of that come apart. Like I said, they created a perfect storm. They've created the storm where conditions are set for backlash to happen, but it won't be backlash that's kinetic. It's going to be information. It's going to be information that they can't counter, they can't say is fake, information that they can't look at and say it's a deep fake. They can't say any of that. It's going to be real information by somebody that was really affected by whoever it is. And I'm telling you, if I was a betting man, it would be in this moment right now is when that kind of stuff usually shows up, especially when you're in a moment where the country is in a pause, people aren't really paying attention, and then there's this trickle of information that comes out. And then it just explodes, and then it turns into an avalanche. And once the avalanche occurs, you don't dig them out. You just bury them with the snow. That's where I see all this going. And it's why I'm seeing all of these different players trying to save their own skin. Like, you think Mark Zuckerberg wants to work with Trump? You think Trump doesn't know that guy stole Pennsylvania in 2020? You don't think Trump's been briefed on all the shit that Facebook's done or Meta has done? You don't think Trump knows that YouTube, Reddit, Google are all censoring everything and interfered with election? You bet your ass he knows who not only meddled in the election, he knows who the players are. And I would rather imagine that once they clean up the FBI and the DOJ, that the next order of business is going to be going after all these different NGOs and public-private partnerships that were set up during Obama and Bush and all the other shitbags before him to put in place people like the Atlantic Council, who are really behind the censorship. And I guarantee you that at some point, whether it's 4 years or 8 years, that machine's still going to be chugging away going after those people. Because he has not forgotten. And if it was me, and I'm saying this from my perspective, again, my opinion, if it was me, I would literally spend the rest of my life making sure that all these people are brought to justice in one way, shape, or form. Because if they went after my family like they went after Trump's family, game on. And I think most people feel that way. Most people want to see real justice this time, not this fake horse shit where you put one or two sacrificial lambs out there. No, they all get rolled up. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care what their family name is. They all get rolled up. They all go to prison and they all sit there and wait until their trial shows up. And I would make sure that the wheels of justice were grinding really fucking slow and the gears were stripping to get to their court cases. So most of them just die in prison. Why would you give them a speedy trial? They didn't seem to care when any of the January 6 people that peacefully walked into the and were invited in, by the way, into the people's house. They didn't seem to give a shit that all of them went through an extended remix of the courtroom drama from hell before they went to prison. So why should we show them any favors? Doesn't mean it's cruel and unusual. It just means justice is slow. For some of them, it'll be incredibly slow. For others, low altitude helicopter descent therapy. Just depends on who it is and what they did. But there's enough of the there's probably we're talking about 1 to 2 million people is what we're talking about that are in the system, that are in Hollywood, that are across the planet, that have done all these nefarious things. We're not talking about a lot of people. And you could try people in groups. That can happen too. It all needs to happen this time. But I should caution everybody that this is going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be, there's not going to be quick justice. It's going to take time. And some people, and this is why this is important. There has to be, the legal system has to be used to its, to the fullest extent that you could use the legal system. And there has to be left and right guardrails around when do we start and who do we stop with? There has to be a stopping point. Who do we prosecute? Who do we slap on the wrist? And who do we forget? Because there's people that were probably coerced into this. And coercion is different than a willing participant. Coercion is different than a co-conspirator. And those definitions have to be drawn out very clearly before any of those arrests happen. And I'll tell you why. Because if we don't put left and right guardrails around, it's just like AI. You don't put guardrails around stuff, then it goes off the rails, and then you become the thing you don't want to become. And the difference that separates us, those of us law-abiding citizens that haven't committed crimes, that haven't gone out and perpetrated anything against either another country, another person, or a business, whatever the case may be, just law-abiding citizens. The difference is that none of us want to become what they wanted us to become. We want justice that is fair and equitable, but also unbiased. And the biggest piece of that is unbiased. I mean, everybody wants to shoot all their vitriol at Bill Gates, but Bill Gates is one guy. There's other guys around Bill Gates and other people around Bill Gates that have enabled him to do what he's doing. He didn't do this shit alone. And if you think for one nanosecond that he's doing this alone and everybody's a willing participant, you're a fool, because that's not real. I'm sure there's people that have opted out because they don't like what he's doing. I'm sure there's people that have opted out because they see how insidious and evil the shit is. And then there's people that have opted out because they felt like they were duped. But the people, the hardcore people around him that have taken the money and are willing participants to watch him kill people through vaccines or through whatever he's given to cattle now, those people need to be rolled up. And those people need to face an unbiased jury and hear the evidence. And if they committed a crime, guess what? They go to prison. That's how it has to go. All that shit takes time, it takes a lot of time. And there's a lot of logistics involved in that. And that's only the first part. The second part is once we get through all of this shit, then we have to reform the legal system so that there's real punishment and that it really is a deterrent for the entire society. So people don't steal, people don't kill, people don't cheat, they don't all of those things. And that's going to take a huge commitment from both the public as well as from whoever our leadership is, whether chosen, installed, whatever, going to take a Herculean effort to reform the legal system. And that's not done through social media. That all has to be done on pen and paper where somebody sits down and writes out what are our laws. think of it that you're rewriting the Ten Commandments is essentially what you're doing. But what you're doing is you're rewriting the Ten Commandments for the next century. And you're going to educate the public for the next century on why following that guidebook is so important. But one of those things has to be personal discipline. Has to be. Because without personal discipline and a moral compass, we get back to where we are now. One of the other things that has to change in order for that to affect society in the right way is we have to fix the food supply. We have to fix the food chain in total. And we have to take away all the toxins out of our food system, because some of the mental illness we're dealing with, some of the obesity problems, definitely a lot of the mental problems we're dealing with, all lace back to food and tainted food supply. So there's a lot of systemic issues that have to be fixed all at the same time. And it's not going to be fixed by memes. People are going to have to sit down and do the heavy lifting to figure out what needs to be in our food supply, what doesn't need to be in our food supply, how do we do that to where there's a balance and there's a sustainable level of food for everybody on the planet, et cetera, et cetera. All of that matters. And it all matters that somebody thinks through that in total. And this is why a source of truth is so important. This is why engagement is so important. Because the value of crowdsourcing things is not just in the fact that you get factual information and creativity, but you get solutions that are outside of whatever the norm is of the small group of people that are working on it. And some of this is going to have to be crowdsourced in order for us to make a monumental leap forward. And some of this isn't going to be solved by technology. Some of this is going to be solved by just plain old, how do we, and this will be a problem that we have to solve for generations forward. How do we continue to nurture soil to grow food to where we don't need nitrogen in our food supply? We don't have to artificially create it and inject it into the ground. How do we keep the nutrients, the minerals, et cetera, in the ground and continually feed people on a renewable basis without depleting the soil? I mean, those are problems we have to solve right now. And the only way that's going to be solved is if we crowdsource this and take the profit motive out of it. It's just like medicine. It's just like education. It's all based on the concept of selfless service. And it's going to take generations to instill across the entire planet. We're unwinding a lot of these paradigms that have been put in place over the last 50 or 70 years across the planet. So it's not going to be an easy hoe to do that. It's going to take a lot of, it's going to take a lot of personal fortitude. It's going to take a lot of people committed, and people are going to have to commit their lives to this. But let me ask you a question. If you left this planet knowing, let's just say that you left this planet knowing that you did something that created not only a, you know, whether it's educational, whether it's farming, doesn't matter what it is. You created something that humanity can benefit from for eternity. Don't you think that's a life well spent? I do. And I think that's what we all have to strive for. My two cents anyway, because there's a mountain of things we have to fix. Medicine's just one of them. And I think in the next 10 years, you're going to see this current profit model in the medical system go away. And we'll get back to a real Hippocratic oath where, you know, they won't, you pledge not to do harm. I think we'll get back to that. And we got to get rid of the for-profit medicine, and we got to get back to, you know, helping people. And all of that's going to take people dedicating their lives to solve those problems. And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to do that. If one of the things I do before I leave this planet is figure out a way to make technology work for people without creating sociopaths and psychopaths and addictions and everything else that's laced with technology, then that would be a life well spent. To make people's lives easier and to give them knowledge at their fingertips that hasn't been doctored or censored, and It's all right there as a source of truth. That to me is a life well spent. And it doesn't matter what the truth is. Just that there's a source of truth. That just that one thing, a source of truth. If we as a, if we as a population just have one thing, that a source of truth, then there's hope for all of us. But right now we don't have that. We have to instill all of that now and build it all. And I don't see a plan for it yet, but I think there will be a plan for it. And it won't be drawn up by bureaucrats, won't be drawn up by rich entitled assholes. It's going to be drawn up by average Americans that are invested in what this country should look like. This is why I was talking about visualize what you want it to look like on the other end, because visualization leads to what, you know, action should be, leads to a plan, leads to actual action, and then you operationalize it. All of those things matter. And they all matter. That, and that's why the whole self-reflection thing, and I wasn't just sitting around saying, go meditate like the Dalai Lama. No, you have to literally visualize what you want your life to look like and where you want to be in 10 or 15 or 20 years. This is exactly the same principle. When you go into college, you don't go to college and say, I'll get a degree in marketing just because that seems like a good thing to do. I'm sure people start out that way, but they don't end up that way, because everybody, most everybody, I should say, has a view of what they want to go do. And for me, I watched an F-15 take off when I was 15. I'm like, I want to do that. That's cool. I want to do that. That looks like a hell of a lot of fun. And look at where I'm at now. Whatever you start out to do, you have a plan. May not turn out to be that way, but you have a plan. You visualize it, then you can turn it into operations. That's what we all need to be doing right now, visualizing what we want this country to look like. I mean, it's great to see people redefining American culture and defining the way it should be, the way they want it to be, not the way it is. And it's right now, it's the stop doing the DEI thing, and this is what we should be doing. Pretty soon it'll be, this is what we should be doing because it's the right thing to do. That's always the outcome of the Stop Being Bad program, which is exactly what we're seeing right now. So when that happens and all of those different cultural aspects start to come together, then you can start injecting the culture with action plans. And I think we will see that. I hope we will. But the challenge to all of you is to go out and visualize what you want this country to look like. Not just now, but post-Trump, post-2030, et cetera. Does that mean there's not going to be challenges? There absolutely will. Is there going to be financial troubles? Absolutely. I think we will migrate off of our current financial system to something else probably within the next 10 years. At least I would hope we will. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about crypto. I'm talking about a completely different system that's not based on paper. It's not based on digits. It's based on something else. And it's probably something that's beneficial to humanity. At least I would hope so. Every single person that's watching this right now, your challenge is to visualize what you want this country to look like and what values you want instilled in children, what values you want to see, you know, emanate through society. One of the things I want to see is I want to see all of this hedonistic and consumerism. I want to see that die, because it's a never-ending cycle of you can have more. There's no such thing as infinite resources. We need to get to a place where resources matter, energy matters more than look at this cool shit I have. And I probably could articulate that a lot better, but the reality is I don't know how to do that right now. But I do know this. The consumerism is not who we are. That's not what this country is about. Neither is collecting stuff. Stuff is stuff. It's not important. The things that made this country great was the fact that we could think outside the box, and we could go and create things and innovate better than anybody else on this planet. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to a lot of things, but that's one of them. And it's going to take all of us to do it. It's not going to happen with one guy. He might be the catalyst to start that revolution, but we have to be the engine that moves it forward. And we have to be the engine that continually reminds people that selfless service is way more important than anything else we've been taught in school. Critical thinking is more important. At least it's hopeful to see it finally in social media. It's been missing for years, and it's good to see now. So with that, I'm going to wrap this up for tonight. I may be back on Friday. Let's see how things develop. If the shit show continues, guess what? I'll be back Friday. But, you know, you notice how I'm not talking about a lot of the political structure, and I'm not talking about things that are going on in Europe, things that are going on in other parts of the world. This is not a time for that. There'll be a time for the day-to-day blows, but right now is a time for self-reflection and looking forward at what we want. It's starting to move the population to migrating towards living, towards something bigger than ourselves. We have to make that transition soon. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck where we are. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to be stuck in this place where we're constantly, you know, looking at what's in front of us for the next 24 hours. I want to get out of that and start looking 10 years ahead, 20 years ahead. Anyway, I'll be back on Friday, potentially. If I'm not Friday, things are fine, things are calm, I'll see you on Monday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight. Eventually I'll get this to go, because, like, there we go.